In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's great to be here at our wonderful seminary. What an honor. Thank you all for what you do to serve this place. Thank you for students and wives giving up so much to go to this place. And thank you for your upcoming service. We're proud of you, proud of all of you. Well, Julian was born to privilege, and he was blessed to live at a time when Christianity had, not too long ago, but Christianity had taken over the empire, the ancient Roman Empire. And when the word temple was translated into this text, say by John, in the Greek, this multitude in the naos, the temple, the people in Asia Minor knew what temples looked like. I was just in Sicily and Italy, and these magnificent temples are all about, these Greek temples, they're enormous. They have these huge pillars. One dedicated to the gods was 130 feet tall, 270 feet long, and 150 feet wide. That's nearly the size of the footprint of a football field. Enormous. And temple after temple after temple. And in front of every temple, there were sacrifices made daily. It was a constant excitement of roasting flesh and priests and priestesses taking their portion to eat. And only once in a while could somebody look in the temple and see. And the temple floors were about like this. That's where we get the shape of our churches from, this 2-to-1 dimension. On feast days, they would open up the door to the temple to Hellas or another god, Poseidon. And you could look in the back and see way up into the front a terracotta god or a carved god, maybe a smiling face. If you've ever been to India, for instance, you look into a Hindu temple, you know what I'm talking about. But you couldn't go in. And the entire religion was about manipulating the gods. There was no real concern for a soul. It was about bringing the right gift. It was about the right sacrifice. It was about offering the sacrifices so the god would move from the Spartans whom you're fighting over to your town. Or you could manipulate the weather, and if the lightning struck someplace, that was a divine action, and a temple would be built there. And by the way, they were absolutely fanatic rubricists. You perform the ancient incantation and rubrics, you get what you want from the gods. Well, the ancient pagans had a charismatic movement too. And young Julian came into contact with a mantic theurge. I used the word mantic because Daniel asked me several times what it meant, Daniel Price. You would expect him not to know what a mantic theurge is with his reserved Norwegian manner. There was a guy named Maximus of Ephesus, and his mantic and theurgic powers, that is to make God do stuff, were rare. And he was in a temple of Hektate or Adesius at night, and he was operating before the cult figure in the temple. And he consecrated a bit of incense and he began to chant the ancient tones, the ancient poems, and pretty soon the god began to smile. And pretty soon the god began to laugh. And then the god began to dance. Julian heard the story from the theurg himself, and wow, was he impressed. Secretly, he became a pagan. And he began to seek out philosophers, pagan philosophers, one after another. He was raised by a Christian father. His father was Constantius. His grandfather was Constantine the Great. By 350, he had converted to paganism, and yet he, to hide it all, he kept reading the lessons in the church. He tonsured his head to look like a monk. He sought out philosophers and old believers, and those men who he said were loaded with Plato. He loved Plato. He loved Athens, and he visited. And the old believers were out there. Christianity had just come along to take over in the last 30, 40 years. The old believers were all out there. The old books were still there. He took over in Constantinople in 361. And he began to write, "The God who rules all is not this mosaic God who creates flesh. The God who rules all is the sun god who creates only immaterial things. The lesser gods create this passing putrid flesh." Oh, he was quite aesthetic too. And wherever, then he reinstituted pagan sacrifices. Wherever altars and fire and blood and the savor of sacrifice and smokes and rites and initiation, free from the fear on the peaks of the mountains, flutes and processions, and an ox sufficient at once to be a service to the gods. Feasts everywhere for men. Feasts everywhere for men. He sacrificed by himself every morning. And he called Paul that charlatan who tricked so many. He said, "John's gospel," this is Bultmann before Bultmann, "John's gospel made Jesus into a god, quite against Matthew and Mark." And these foolish Christians reach such perdition that they abandon the eternal gods and desert to the corpse of a Jew and worship the wood of a cross. He ruled 3 years. The text today talks about the Great Tribulation. I believe we are on the verge of a Great Tribulation. And I believe it's going to last much more than 3 years. Today, the idol of a few Supreme Court justices sits stone-faced to be tickled by the arguments of paganism. And soon they begin to smile, then they laugh, and they're about to dance while the world sacrifices to its gods, encircling the building. A beautiful temple, white marble, all white marble, justice for all written on the front, yet showered in the blood of 57 million aborted babies. And what is going to come upon us has not even yet begun. That's why we have our text. It's a picture of heaven. It's heaven. Don't be afraid. Amen. And blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might and glory to our God forever and ever. In heaven right now, all are bowing before the Christ, the Lamb upon his throne, with their faces to the ground, singing praises. Who are these ones in white stoles? You know, they're the ones who have been washed, had their stoles washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know who they are. And it's you. It's what will be yours. We cannot in this life, as a pastor or a deaconess, we cannot ignore our bodies. We cannot not take care of our families. We are not Platonists. And when we fail to do those things, it has negative spiritual effects upon our family, eternity. But know this, you will go through difficulties in the years ahead. difficulties unlike we have ever faced in this country before for being Christians. And you will endure. And on the other side of it, there's heaven. It's waiting for you. And it says, and sitting upon the throne, skenose epautus, this lamb tabernacles among them. That great word from John's gospel. The word became flesh and dwelt, tabernacled among them. The presence of God himself, forgiveness, reconciliation, the presence of God. And then at the end it says, and he is the lamb in the middle of the throne who will shepherd his people. And he will shepherd you, every single one of you, as leaders of the church, as faithful members of the church. He will shepherd you to the last day where there's no tear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.